elections will come to order. There is a quorum present. First, Senator Hoffman moves the minutes from the Tuesday, February 10th meeting. Is there any discussion on those? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion passes or prevails. First, before we get into Senate File 414, the Secretary of State's office is going to give us a short presentation on a report and a review on no-excuse absentee voting. Ms. Strother, welcome back to the committee. Please state your name for the tape.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Julie Strother with the Office of the Minnesota Secretary of State, and I will give a really brief overview of absentee voting in 2014. You'll also hear from the local and county election officials who administered absentee balloting about their experience, but I'm going to give more of a statewide by-the-numbers picture about what we saw in 2014. So in 2014, you know that we had, for the first time, no-excuse absentee voting. The law was actually passed in 2013, but it was implemented for the first time in the primary in 2014. We also saw the use for the first time of the online absentee ballot tool, which we actually ended up having around 42,000 individuals use to request an absentee ballot. And about 2,000 military and overseas voters used our military and overseas voter absentee ballot tool to request their ballot. It ended up, to our surprise, being more popular than the online voter registration tool and used by more individuals to request their ballot. It was a convenience to voters, but it was also designed to smooth some things along with election administrators so they weren't stuck doing that data entry. So in reviewing absentee balloting in 2014, our office looked to compare 2014 to 2010. Since 2012 is a presidential year, and we know that just by nature of turnout that there were more people voting in 2012 and more people voting absentee in 2012, it was a better comparison to compare back to 2010. So compared to 2010, as you can see, there was a 55% increase in those voting absentee in 2014 compared to 2010. Another way to look at this is the percentage of the electorate that chose to cast their ballot by absentee. We did see in 2014, 10% of the electorate approximately cast their ballot via absentee. We do expect that that will increase. Iowa, a state that has had no excuse absentee for over 10 years, now sees about 40% of their electorate casting their ballot by absentee. So we expect that number to increase as people become comfortable with it and enjoy the flexibility of voting early. So although there were just over 197,000 people that cast their ballot absentee in 2014, we did have over 200,000, just over 200,000 people attempt to cast a ballot absentee. That means that we ended up having about a 98.7% acceptance rate of those that submitted an absentee ballot and ultimately had it counted. Though that is a good number, it does mean that over 2,000 people had their ballots rejected and weren't able to ultimately cast an absentee ballot. The initial rejection number was over 5,000, but due to the hard work of local election officials helping people resubmit their materials, correct their errors, we ended up with a number of just over 2,600 that were rejected. And as you can see, 480 of those were able to show up on Election Day and cast their ballot.
But, Ms. Struthers, so that means that there are still about 2,200 people that were not exactly sure why, but their ballots were rejected, and so they ultimately didn't vote or were disenfranchised.
Madam Chair, that's correct. And here I did put together just a quick chart of the reasons for rejection. As you can see, the majority, 60% approximately, are due to witness errors, whether that be that the witness failed to sign the envelope or that they didn't get a witness or other errors on the part of the witness. And so, I mean, that's the biggest reason for rejection, though there are others. The other thing we looked at was the number of people who chose to vote in person absentee. And these would be people showing up at their county or city halls and voting at the clerk's office. We saw over half of the people who chose to vote absentee voted in person, so just over 100,000 people. And then of those, we looked at when they showed up to vote. And in that 15-day window prior to the election, we saw the majority of those voters, 57,000, coming in to vote. It's a full 46-day absentee balloting period. So it was a significant increase closer to Election Day. And I do have a couple of quick charts that show you when folks came in to vote. These are the accepted absentee ballots by week. Blue is 2010, and red is 2014. And ED is Election Day, so you can see the numbers and how an increase going up. Though a point I think is important to make, even though we did see an increase in absentee balloting in 2014, that 2012, because of the higher turnout, overall we saw a higher number of absentee ballots cast in 2012. So we put together, you know, what I think is possibly a conservative chart, but if we saw the same 55% increase in absentee balloting again in 2016, what that would look like when we're talking about a presidential election volume. And again, that's just an estimate. The other point I wanted to make, our office does do a report on absentee balloting after every general election. It's available electronically through the Legislative Reference Library. I didn't bring copies. It involves a lot of charts, and it's long, but it is available electronically if folks are interested in looking at particular counties. That is all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Strother. With that, if Senator Eakin, if you wouldn't mind sharing now, and we can begin to discuss the Senate File 4.
Senator Sieben, did you want to bring the bill forward at this point then?
Yes, okay. Mr. Chair.
Okay, so Senator Sieben to Senate File 414.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This is a bill that would authorize early voting in the state of Minnesota. It would begin 15 days before the election through 5 p.m. on the third day before the election. And I can go through, I can briefly describe some highlights of the bill, Mr. Chair. But first, I'd like to move the A2 amendment, which members have in their packet. This is largely a technical bill or a technical amendment that Ms. Stengel could explain the technical nature of it. But there is a provision on lines 1.8 and 1.9 of the A2 amendment that is a request from the League of Cities. So the substantial change then in the A2 amendment is that for a primary election, early voting polling places aren't required to be open out of the two Saturdays that they would otherwise be required to be open. So like I said, this change is being done at the request of the League of Cities. But otherwise, the provisions in the A2 amendment were largely technical. If Ms. Stengel, you'd like to explain them.
Yeah, Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll sort of piece these things together. On line 1.2 and 1.3 of the amendment, just move some language from a later section to consolidate all of the language together to make it clear that this applies to primary, special, general elections for state, federal, and county, whatever that all stated in one place instead of scattered throughout. Lines 1.4 to 1.6 deletes redundant language and replaces it with a cross-reference back to the change that we made in the earlier lines. Line 1.7 corrects an incorrect cross-reference. Senator Sieben just spoke about lines 1.9. Lines 110 and 111, which is excess words that made it confusing. Line 1.12 changed election judge to ballot board member because it's the ballot board member that actually administer early voting. Lines 1.13 and 1.14 remove more unclear redundant language and provide a cross-reference to make it clear what we're talking about. Lines 1.15, 1.16 specifies that the equipment testing must be done it's approximately a week before early voting starts. It has to be done before early voting starts. And the effective date is reworked. It's substantially the same, but it's just sort of been put together in a different way that's a little bit easier to understand.
Okay, thank you. And are there any questions at all on the A2 amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. And Senator Sieben to the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So as I said, members, this early voting bill would establish early voting in Minnesota beginning 15 days prior to Election Day through 5 p.m. on the third day before Election Day. The hours for early voting are specified from in the bill as 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each weekday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on at least one weekday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on two Saturdays for a general election before Election Day. Early voting must be available at a polling place designated in the county auditor's office, a municipal clerk's office if the city administers absentee voting, and other locations designated by a county auditor at least 90 days before the election. You have a handout in your packet, members, that shows that 32 other states have early voting. I think it's interesting to note that if you look at the handout from NCSL that's in your packet, you'll see that Minnesota is already designated as having early voting and no excuse absentee voting. And I think this clarifies the particular conundrum that the state of Minnesota is now in. By effectively passing no excuse absentee voting, political campaigns, many public officials talk like we have true early voting already in Minnesota. But obviously that is not technically the case, and we're stuck right now with this process of no-excuse absentee voting that is somewhat more complicated to administer and certainly more expensive. I look forward to hearing the testimony from to testify today to help clarify and amplify some of those concerns. But I think the real reason why it's incumbent on the legislature to strongly consider passing an early voting bill is that we want to make voting convenient for people, and we want to minimize the opportunities for error. As we heard from Ms. Strother from the Secretary of State's office, in the last election, there were still over 2,000 people that voted using absentee ballots, but their votes were rejected. And certainly you members know from your experience when you show up at a polling place, I myself actually did this in the last election. I put a dot on someone else's name and then thought that it wasn't a big enough dot to vote for the person I really wanted to vote for. And when I put my ballot into the machine, it spit it back out of me and said that I had made an error, so I was able to cast a new ballot. And obviously things like that aren't always caught if a voter casts a ballot by absentee, because they give the ballot to the administrator, and then that ballot is folded up in an envelope, maybe put in a secure location in a closet or someplace, and not counted until the ballot board does that. And again, we'll hear more about this in some of the testimony today. But I think that the two main reasons why I so strongly support early voting is because voters already kind of think that we have it, and it's and that combines with a convenience factor for voters. But there's also fewer opportunities for error. And so with that, Mr. Chair, if we could hear from the testifiers and then get into some of the language of the actual bill, I think that that would be a prudent way to move forward.
Sure. And the first testifier on the list, Secretary of State Steve Simon. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about this bill. I know there are many other testifiers, so I'll try to be brief. I think we know from the 2014 election, as you just saw earlier today, that Minnesotans like the freedom and the flexibility to cast their ballot in a way that makes sense for them and for their lives. Voting is not a one-shot deal anymore. It's not a question anymore of showing your patriotism only by voting in a 13-hour period on a designated day and no other way. We in Minnesota have been at the forefront of leading the way to make sure people have that freedom and flexibility, and it was a huge success. As you saw in the presentation today, a 55% spike in absentee voting as compared with the last non-presidential election. That tells me that voters like it. They like that freedom. They like that flexibility. So I think this bill is a chance to do more of what we know Minnesotans like, but in a way that provides more control to voters, more security and integrity for the system, and less cost to government. And I think many of the other testifiers here today are going to elaborate on all of those points. As Senator Sieben just said, 32, or I think it's 33 technically, other states have some form of early voting. 20 states, though, not including Minnesota, obviously, have what this bill proposes. And I think it's important to point out that this has bipartisan support across the country. Those 20 states that have the system that this bill seeks to introduce in Minnesota include stereotypically blue states like California and Hawaii and Illinois, and stereotypically red states like Utah and Texas and Arkansas and others. And so this knows no particular ideological or party allegiance. It's good government that many other states have embraced across the country. So I think early voting gives voters peace of mind by allowing them to cast their ballot under game day conditions, so to speak. There are no envelopes, no signatures, no witnesses, no absentee ballot boards, no mailings. I think overall less hassle for the voter and for election administrators. I think absentee voting, particularly no excuses absentee voting, will always be and should always remain a part of the fabric of our election system. But this is a way to complement and supplement that, particularly for those who want new avenues of flexibility. We'll always have absentee voting for those who can't get to the polls or at least can't easily get to the polls. But this is another item on the menu, so to speak, another way that Minnesotans can get that freedom and flexibility that they've already shown in the last election that they want. So thanks for your time and your attention and for your consideration of this legislation, and thanks for Senator Sieben for carrying it. She's been a big supporter and advocate of this for a number of years. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Simon. Any questions at all before we move on? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the next testifier, Ms. Christine Stone. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Stone. And if you could state your name for the record, please.
Thank you for this opportunity to vote today. I'm Christine Stone, a member of the grassroots election advocacy team of AARP. I'm 94 years old. It says 93 here. And I have voted in every election since I turned 21. In fact, since 1944, that was when Franklin Roosevelt served his last term. I voted the same precinct near my home in Maplewood, Minnesota. I'm here to lend support for Senate File 414 legislation to institute an early voting system in Minnesota. AARP was very supportive of efforts several years ago to allow for no-excuse absentee balloting, but we believe that as our state's population ages, it's important to continue to modernize our election system to enable our older population to have easy access to the poll. Seniors take voting very seriously, especially here in Minnesota. Minnesota has a long tradition of ensuring that our voting system is accessible, and we are extremely proud of our level of participation. As we look to the future, this tradition must continue. AARP supports efforts to improve voting procedures that encourage and promote maximum participation in the voting process by expanding the range of voting choices. Many older citizens want to physically go to the polls. I, for one, look forward to Election Day, to getting out of the house and going down to the precinct and taking part in the voting process. I will continue to do that until I absolutely can't do it anymore. I'm reminded that it was 95 years ago some brave ladies gave us the right to vote. But for many other older Minnesotans, getting out of the house on Election Day can be harder than it seems. Finding someone to take you when you want to go can be hard. Standing in long Election Day lines can be hard. Many seniors are afraid of the unpredictable weather. Others are afraid of falling or getting sick. I know there will come a time when I might not be able to count on getting out on Election Day. That's why AARP believes that early voting, as well as no-excuse absentee balloting, go hand in hand and are important tools for older voters. Much like pre-boarding an airplane, these tools allow older folks more time to vote under less stressful conditions. Across the country, the majority of states have enacted both early voting and no-excuse absentee balloting. In 32 states and the District of Columbia, any qualified voter may cast a ballot in person during a designated early voting period prior to Election Day. No excuse or justification is required. We believe it's time for Minnesota to enact this common sense voting change, too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Stone. And any questions at all? Okay, seeing none, thanks again, Ms. Stone, for your testimony. And next on the agenda, we have Mr. Justin Page.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Page, and I'm a staff member, staff attorney at the Minnesota Disability Law Center, a statewide project of Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid. MMLA is a federally mandated protection and advocacy system for individuals with disabilities, and we represent individuals with all types of disabilities across the state of Minnesota. Our office receives funding through the Help America Vote Act to protect and advocate for voting rights of people with disabilities in a nonpartisan fashion. I am here today to testify on how Senate File 414 will help individuals with disabilities exercise their right to vote. Historically, people with disabilities have faced significant barriers in registering and voting. These barriers include social isolation, lack of available transportation to and from the polling place, and lack and inaccessible polling places. Unfortunately, these barriers have led individuals with disabilities to vote at a much lower rate than the general population. The Census Bureau's Voting and Registration Supplement, which started measuring disability turnout in 2008, has shown persistent gaps in disability turnout in every election since. A white paper entitled Reducing Obstacles to Voting for People with Disabilities, which was prepared for the Presidential Commission on Election Administration in 2013, determined that there would be 3 million more voters with disabilities in the United States if eligible voters with disabilities voted at the same rate as people without disabilities. We believe that early voting, as provided in this bill, would make it easier for individuals with disabilities to vote and encourage people with disabilities to more fully engage in the political process. Early voting is a clear and modern trend across the nation. 33 states and the District of Columbia already have adopted some type of early voting system. The Presidential Commission on Election Administration also recommends that states should expand opportunities to vote for people to vote before Election Day. Early voting will also save money. In a time of shrinking resources for programs that individuals with disabilities rely on, we believe it is good policy to implement election reforms such as early voting, which will reduce costs, increase efficiency, and allow individuals with disabilities to more fully engage in the voting process. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to testify on this bill and how this bill will help individuals with disabilities exercise their right to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Page. Any questions at all? Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill forward. Mr. Page, I do have a question for you. I still hear from folks within the disability community that there are many, many gaps regarding somebody's right to vote. Matter of fact, after the last election, I asked a couple of individuals who I know are on elderly waivered services, and they said that their team would not allow them to vote. And I find that just appalling. And so are you and I'm liking this because this would allow us some time to really get the education piece out there to get people to vote. But are you hearing that there is still a lot of barriers and that people are being denied the right to vote?
Mr. Page.
Social isolation, misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation out there. That's why we have a program where we go out and try to educate individuals on the right to vote. But we do hear that, you know, people are sometimes misinformed about their right to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Page. No further questions, so thank you for your testimony. And Mr. Nick Newman.
If I got a disability.
This is sad.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Nick Newman, and I'm a student at St. Cloud State University. I'm here today to voice Minnesota State University student support for Senate File 414. I want to thank you for the opportunity to address you. As future citizens and workers, it is essential for students to participate in the political process. Numerous studies have found that voting is habit-forming, particularly with young people. Those who vote in one election are much more likely to vote in future elections. On the other hand, individuals who have never voted become less likely to as they get older. Furthermore, college students who vote and participate in the political process in Minnesota are more likely to feel attachment to the state and remain here after graduation, strengthening Minnesota's economy. Fortunately, Minnesota leads the nation in youth voter turnout, which is a direct result of providing accessibility in the voting process. However, despite Minnesota's leadership in this area, youth turnout still lags behind the rest of the population. Since many students are first-time voters, we need to do everything we can to be sure that the process to register and vote is as accessible as possible. Between going to class, writing papers, and working to help pay for school, it can be difficult for many students to find the time to get to the polls on election day. While there is no excuse for failing to vote, Minnesota owes it to future generations to make voting as accessible as possible. Otherwise, there is the danger of repeating the historically low turnout we saw during this past election. I think we can all agree that this would be a terrible thing for the democratic process. For me, voting has always been important. I voted in all three elections since I was 18. Much of that I attribute to my accessibility to vote, knowledge of the election system, and political awareness. But in the case of many students and people my age, there isn't concrete understanding of how they are able to vote and how they can vote if they aren't available on election day. We need to make every effort possible to make it as easy for students to vote. Last fall, I worked on a voter registration effort and Get Out the Vote effort, which focused mainly on students and young people. In my experience, it became clear that students either weren't aware of what they needed to register, what their options were if they couldn't vote on election day, or when they had the opportunity to cast their ballot. The ability to register at the polls is of significant benefit, but only if you're able to make it to the polls. State University students, especially those who don't know about registering for absentee voting, can find it challenging to make it to the polls on a day full of classes, studying, and the part or full-time job that many of us have. Giving students more options to make it to the polls to cast our ballot will increase voter turnout among young people. We appreciate the work state officials have already done to make voting less cumbersome and urge the committee to support this continued effort to ensure participation in the democratic process. Thank you for allowing me to address you today.
Thank you. And any questions for Mr. Newman? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Ms. Terry Harstead? Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record, please.
Terry Harstead. I am currently serving as the city clerk for the City of New Brighton, but I'm testifying today on behalf of MCFOA, the Minnesota Clerks and Finance Officers Association. Before I begin, I'd like to thank you all for your time today. It's extremely inspiring to me to be in a room filled with people who are also passionate about improving the voter's experience and who are devoted to enhancing voter services at reduced cost, who are committed to increasing voter trust in our electoral process, people who are dedicated to the continual examination and improvement of election efficiency, accuracy, and integrity. As an election administrator and as a voter, I'm excited that you are considering Senate File 414 regarding a true early voting process. As an election administrator, we see people come in for absentee voting in the days before election day, and they think they're already walking into an early voting situation. So when you hand them a packet of envelopes, I have prepared an infographic for you. It's in your packet. You have two. One is on early voting. One is on the absentee voting process. As the early voting process is proposed. When people walk into our polls on election day, they expect that they're going to have the same experience. When they walk into the polls to absentee vote, they expect that they're going to be having the same experience that they would have on election day, because they have a perception that Minnesota already has early voting, when in fact we do not. So as an election administrator, when we make them apply for a ballot instead of just stating their name, and they have paperwork to fill out, and we hand them, we have to go back and get a packet of numerous envelopes and papers and documents, they just kind of stare at us and say, what is this? They're expecting to just receive a ballot. They're expecting to fill it out. They're expecting to put it in a box. When they find out they have to fill out all these papers and documents and put it in an envelope, and instead of putting it in the ballot tabulator, they put it in an envelope, sign their name, and hand it to you, that's concerning for a lot of people. A lot of our residents' interactions with government is when they get a ticket. It's when they have an issue with their property tax. Elections is an opportunity for us to have a positive government interaction with our citizens. And when they have to give us their ballot in an envelope and just trust us to count it, that's concerning to them. It's not enhancing. It's kind of taking away from that government trust. And we have an opportunity to enhance our trust with our residents and our citizens and our voters. As you can see from the infographic, there are... Now, this infographic is not conclusive. It does not include all of the administrative steps. This is only from the perspective of the voter. This is only from the voter's eyes, from the time that they get the ballot to the time that the ballot goes through the ballot tabulator. There are a minimum in the absentee, in the current absentee in-person voting process, there is a minimum of 9 times that an election official, whether it's an absentee ballot board member or an election administrator, touches that ballot in an envelope as part of the process before it goes through the tabulator. Just with accepting and rejecting, putting it, you know, we have to accept it, you know, we accept it from the voter, we put it in a secured box. We go into the statewide voter registration system and we indicate that we've accepted that, that we have received the ballot. It goes into a locked box. Another group takes it out and they accept or reject it, and they mark it in SVRS, the statewide voter registration system, that whether it's been accepted or rejected. And then there's a whole envelope opening process and sorting process. You know, we touch it a minimum of 9 times before it goes through that ballot counter box, and it's us, and it's a safe and it's a secure process, but that's 9 times that a human being is touching that voted ballot before it goes through the ballot counter. In early voting, the voter receives the ballot from the election administrator. They vote it and they put it in the box themselves. There's a one touch on the ballot. Before it's voted, we don't touch the ballot until after the voter has marked it until after it's been in the tabulator. That's an ideal situation. We have an opportunity to create an ideal early voting situation. This is great. From an election administrator standpoint, also when you're looking at those steps, just administratively on that entire process, I think Joe Mansky from Ramsey County has been cited as saying there's 22 steps, administrative steps, in that absentee voting process. There would be about eight or nine in the early voting process. So you have reduced interaction, reduced staff time. With reduced staff time comes reduced cost. You don't have envelopes. You don't have extra directions. It's the ballot and the ballot counter and the voter. And there's still accountability. There's other parts. I'm just looking at it from the voter perspective. And I know that the voters that I've worked with would be thrilled to have a true early voting process where they are putting their own ballot in the ballot box and they can be confident in our election process and be confident in the results that they're receiving. So thank you so much for considering Senate File 414. Obviously, I'm here to support that on behalf of MCFOA.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Harstad. Any questions? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Harstad, is it?
Yes.
Could you tell me, you mentioned that it'd be easier. It sounded like you were saying it would be more cost-effective for the city than to have 15 days of somebody monitoring that. And then could you also tell me how this would work, and maybe the author would be better to answer this question, how this would work with having election judges and poll watchers?
Senator Sieben.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, I'll take a stab at that to start. First, the early voting site, because the places that are designated are municipal or county offices that are already open during that time, there is in law specified time periods where they would need to be opened later into the evening until 8 p.m. one evening and two Saturdays prior to the election. But the county and city folks can speak to this more. But what I've heard in conversations from them is that either those, so the vast majority of that time, those offices are already open anyway, and that extra time, even though there would be a cost for having that time period open, it is less expensive than administering the full cost of no excuse absentee balloting, of having that additional, all those additional steps in the no excuse absentee balloting process.
Okay,
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is there an official fiscal note? And then back to the judges and the poll watchers.
Senator
Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, we did request a fiscal note. This is just the policy committee, so that will be talked about the fiscal note and the local impact. We have requested it, and we'll get it. It's not prepared yet, though.
Okay.
Senator Hall, the second part.
Yeah, the second part with poll watchers and judges.
So,
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, as far as poll watchers and election judges, you asked about. So, just as a local unit of government administers in-person absentee balloting, the election official would serve as that election judge in that circumstance.
Ms. Harstad?
That is correct. Different cities handle it slightly different ways in different counties. It depends on the volume of voters. Some cities do handle it all internally with staff members. Other cities with higher volumes may have temporary election staff or call election judges in to perform that work. But it would not be very much. That part is not substantially different from our absentee voting process. Now I don't foresee that as being an issue.
Senator DeHall.
Mr. Chair and Senator Sieben, then, can you tell me why 15 days, if going earlier is better, why not 6 months?
Senator Hall, well, 15 days is somewhat of an arbitrary number. Some states have longer early voting periods. I think it goes up to as late as 22 days or more before an election, but this seems like a fair amount of time where we could
add in the two additional Saturdays to give people who may not have time to vote during the week to exercise that opportunity on a Saturday, or to vote in that one longer evening period. And we do want to have an election period that is somewhat, it can't be 6 months before because the candidates haven't even filed for office in some cases, but we landed at the 15-day mark just because it seemed like a reasonable amount of time to have an early voting period. And you do know, Senator Hall, that the no-excuse absentee ballot period right now, so for instance, if you want to cast an absentee ballot, that begins 46 days, if I'm not mistaken, before the election.
Okay. And Senator Hall, did you have another question?
I'm assuming that, yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm assuming that they also at no time can change their vote. And part of my concern is, and of course that's for absentee also, and I guess people understand that, but they would need to know that, you know, there are things that happen within that last week or two, be it, you know, someone does something terrible and they'd rather change their vote, they wouldn't be able to do that. And I had another thought there with why, you know, why it would be not the best situation. Oh, I was thinking about the cost. So often in elections, whether it's a candidate or third parties, they put an awful lot of money in, and in that last week. And now if they've got a possible, you know, 15 days, now to me we're encouraging much more money to be spent on elections. And so I just want to state that does concern me. I think we spend too much money right now on elections. But thank you.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, I agree with you that there is too much money spent in negative campaigning, or I would agree with that, but the language also specifies that when a voter signs an early ballot app, when they're signing the roster, there is going to be language on there that's added, which I'm looking for it in the bill, that says that it's on line 10.24 and 10.25. So it will say that I understand that after I have cast my ballot today, I cannot vote again in this election. So that is a factor that a voter will have to weigh, whether they want to, if they may change their mind, it'd be better for them to wait till election day.
So, and Senator Kiffmeyer, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In fact, on the election judge poll challenger situation, with the no-excuse absentee, you have a ballot board that actually processes. So what is done at the counter is an administrative thing, similar to what somebody might do at home. However, you always have election judges available to be there. An absentee ballot board processes. There are behind-the-scenes things that go also, such as a verification of Social Security, death records, a variety of things. And so now you have an actual ballot that goes into the ballot box and immediately when the voter comes there. So there are some registration issues, things that go there, but there is some very real differences between the no-excuse absentee and this early voting that are substantial, much less the voter's experience. If a voter comes in to vote a no-excuse absentee, they fill out the ballot. It can be processed. And to that voter, there actually could be a machine available to scan it for any procedural error, similar to early voting. That's just an internal office issue. But the ballot board does a lot of the processing and a lot of things that happen that would not happen with an early voting because that ballot immediately goes in the ballot box. Very, very different. And I've been told before that they can't do these things at the time while the voter is there. So if that's still the case, that especially makes a difference.
And I see Ms. Strether or Ms. Who would like to respond, Ms. Strether?
Julie Strother with the Office of the Secretary of State. I came up just to address the question of challengers. And the folks administering may be able to answer some of the process questions more in detail. But the we haven't seen, my understanding and reports from the counties and cities administering no excuse absentee, that they've had challengers that have requested to observe the process. But when our office discussed this with the rollout of no excuse absentee, it was our understanding, our interpretation, that there wouldn't be anything that prevented a poll challenger from being at that then no excuse absentee location during that process. And so I don't know why there wouldn't be the ability to have the same type of poll challenger there for the 15-day period of early voting. I would have to look at the language of the statute in detail, but that was our read of the statute at the time we looked at it for no excuse absentee.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Strother. And Ms. Harstad.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, early voting is absolutely secure. We do just as many, we will be doing as many checks. The absentee ballot board and the absentee balloting process, primarily, their primary job is to handle the ballot after the time that the voter submits it and before it goes into that ballot tabulator. In the early voting process, as proposed, the election official looks up that voter in the statewide voter registration system and performs the same sorts of checks that are conducted currently with the absentee voting. They verify the voter registration. There's nothing substantially different with that.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Well, that's really conflicting what I've been told before, that that cannot be done, that those verifications cannot be done that quickly, that it takes, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood, because we have the ending of pre-registration 3 weeks before Election Day, and they've been told that they need that time in order to do those verifications. So that's conflicting from information that we've been told before, and I would very much like to see, in fact, how that all works.
Any response, Senator Sieben? Or?
Mr. Chair, I'm not really clear. I'm sorry, Senator Kiffmeyer. I'm not real clear about what you were referencing that you've heard before, but maybe you could, if you could explain a little more to me what you are getting at, but or what is the problem with the language in this bill, then maybe I'd catch on.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Previously, the previous Secretary of State said there were about 9 verifications that they went through for a registered voter prior to them actually being that a pre-registration would actually be accepted. This is registration, okay? And so there are things that they go through. So on an early voting, you would have same-day voter registration also for 15 days before Election Day. So if they're pre-registered, yes, you can look them up, and you will maybe have gone through some of those pre-registration things. But if you're having early voting, you're having same-day voter registration for 15 days prior to. Very, very different. And so those, if I recall right, it was, I think, at least 9 different verifications that they had to go through and that they needed the time to do that. So I'm just going from previous testimony by the previous Secretary of State's office, and not that I have an absolutely perfect memory, but I can certainly go back and take a look at things. But there is a big difference between the no-excuse absentee and the processing and early voting, and especially in the in that area. So I'll just go by that. I wasn't prepared today to give you a recap of those procedures.
Okay, Ms. Harstad.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I will address this to the best of my ability, but maybe, you know, Joe Mansky, I see he's on the schedule later. He could address it from a county perspective. But there is same-day registration with absentee voting as well. And voters submit their voter registration application along with their ballot, and their ballot is actually counted before that voter registration application is processed. And in some months, there is a lag time because it takes several months to process that voter registration, and their ballot has already been counted in the absentee process as well. And I guess that's what I was getting at when I said it's not substantially different, because people do have the ability to register to vote at the same time that they cast a ballot, regardless of whether that's on election day or absentee voting. With early voting, if they are pre-registered, they would be able to submit a ballot the same way that they do on election day. If they are not pre-registered to vote or if there's a problem with their registration, they would be allowed to register and vote in the same manner that they would on election day. So that you are correct and that registration would be processed after they cast a ballot, but that's the same as it works on election day and it's the same as it works on for absentee voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Harstead. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next testifier, Ms. Deb Scogan.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Deb Scogan. I am the city clerk for the city of Fridley, and also a member of the Minnesota Clerks and Finance Officers Association Elections Task Force. I want to thank you for this opportunity to provide testimony on behalf not only my city, but also the MCFOA. Fridley is in Anoka County. Cities in Anoka County are unique due to a joint powers agreement that we have between the county and the cities. The agreement covers the use of election equipment and administrative services by Anoka County. Unlike other counties, where the county either administrates the whole absentee ballot process or delegates that process to the cities, Anoka County and its cities share that responsibility. Prior to 2012, Anoka County did administer all of our absentee voting, with the exception of Fridley and Lino Lakes. Anoka County delegated in-person absentee voting to all of the Anoka County cities in 2012. While I had been conducting absentee ballot processing, other cities in the counties had not had that experience and were concerned. So to ease that process, the county shared the absentee responsibilities, and the county prepares the mail ballot absentee voting, and the cities conduct in-person ballot voting. Having experience from administering all absentee ballots to only in-person absentee ballot voting, I can understand how intensive and time-consuming it can be for staff. While absentee voting may be cumbersome, the fact that the county provided almost 50% of the help needed for this process helped to reduce the city's expense and staffing needs, allowing us to continue with the other duties that we have. No excuse absentee ballot voting was legislated in 2013. As 2014 was a non-presidential year, the voter turnout was expected to be lower, and it was. However, we, as a city, experienced a 2% increase in absentee ballot voting over 2012. Most of the increase occurred 2 weeks prior to the election. In addition, we had a huge increase in the number of individuals coming in on Saturday. We went from having no one over 16 years to 25 people that in 2014. The majority of those voting did not understand the process. They found it cumbersome and confusing and wondered how their ballots would be secured and counted. We provided information on the process and tried to assure them that every precaution would be taken to secure their ballot properly and have it counted. Because of our joint agreement with the county, our cities experience about 19 steps for each person voting by in-person absentee ballot. The process requires our election staff to spend on an average 10 to 15 minutes per voter. The more voters you have, the longer the voters have to wait in line to begin the process because you want to ensure that there are no mistakes. In addition, staff is necessary for the absentee ballot board to accept or reject the absentee ballots, which adds an additional 4 minutes to each ballot. With no excuse absentee ballot voting, we expect that number to increase in 2016 as it is a presidential election year with no presidential incumbent on the ballot. If early voting is approved, early voting would begin 15 days before each election and allow the individuals voting in person the same experience as that they do on election day. In my discussions with the county, their vision would be for them to continue to do the mail ballot absentee voting and have the cities conduct the early voting, which would be 15 days before each election. If that were the case for Fridley and other cities in Anoka County, it would mean that we would go from having 373 hours of voting hours by absentee for each election. It would change it to 137 voting hours for each election. In addition, the 19 steps that we currently have would change from 9 to 10 steps, reducing the amount of time spent with each voter and providing less chance for error. This change would reduce staff time spent in half and make the process much more transparent and efficient for the voters. In addition, in our county, we would no longer need an absentee ballot board to accept and reject ballots. Early voting would provide the voter the same experience as the polling place. They would come in, sign a roster, get their ballot, and cast the vote into the tabulator. They would know firsthand that their ballot was counted or be provided an opportunity to correct their ballot if the vote tabulator returned their ballot. From a statistical or cost perspective viewpoint, early voting would dramatically change our staff time from 14 minutes to 5 minutes per absentee ballot. By cutting the time you spend, you're cutting the cost as well. For instance, for in-person absentee ballot voting right now, for our election staff that handle absentee ballots, the city of Fridley has 3 staff members issuing the ballots. If you include our benefits and our hourly rates of pay, they range from $43 to $13 per hour. If you equate that into minutes, the cost per minute ranges from 73 cents a minute to 23 cents a minute. And if you average the rate of pay and add in the average time spent per voter, the election staff equates to $5.02 per ballot. Then if you add in the absentee ballot board, that staff who reviews to accept and reject absentee ballots, we have 3 members, staff members, working on the board with salaries ranging between $43 and $26. And if you equate that into minutes, you're looking at 72 cents to 44 cents. If you add the average time spent to the rate for 4 minutes, it equates to an additional $2.41. If you add both rates, the average staff time spent on each absentee ballot is $7.42. And that's just the city's portion. It still has to go up back up to Anoka County to have their absentee ballot board review the ballot, take it out of the ballot, get it ready for counting, and tabulating it. So it is much more than $7.42 for each absentee ballot. If I use the figures that we had for our 2012 and 2014 elections, in 2012, there were 416 persons that voted by absentee ballot. The staff time for just issuing these absentee ballots was $3,092. That's in addition to all the other time that staff spends with elections or other duties. In 2014, which was a non-presidential election, 289 people voted in person. The staff cost for issuing these ballots was $2,148. If early voting is adopted, the staffing costs for the city of Fridley would dramatically change. If you take the same rate of pay and this minute, we would go from 10 minutes to 5 minutes, and we would no longer need the absentee ballot board. Our staffing costs would be cut by 66%. In terms of early voting, this means that in 2012, we could have cut our cost to $1,044, and in 2014, $725. So it's considerable savings to the city. And don't forget the amount of time that the county is still spending on that. While we only administer in-person absentee voting, there are cities that do administer all of the absentee ballots throughout the whole process, and their cost is much higher than ours. Those cities, like us, would also experience a savings in staffing costs if early voting was accepted. The city of Fridley does support Senate File 414 on early voting. It's a no-brainer, and it makes much more sense. Our election equipment is new and can handle the process. Early voting is a more cost-effective method, a more transparent and efficient process for our voters. I've talked with other city clerks, and they also support early voting. I want to thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Scogan. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if it's for our testifier or for Senator Sieben, but I'm assuming that the absentee voting will not take place if this goes through in those last 15 days.
That would be, Senator, yes, that would be correct. The city would only be conducting the early voting. We would not be doing the absentee ballot by mail. That would still be done by the county. So we would only be doing the early voting for those 50 days. So our time spent on that process would be cut in half.
Okay.
But Mr. Chair and Senator Hall,
Senator Sieben,
just to clarify, voters would still have the opportunity to cast an absentee ballot, such as if they're away from the polling place and wanted to do it by mail for whatever reason.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Sieben, so they would be able to turn in their absentee ballot in those 15 days. Would absentee ballots be handed out still in those last 15 days, since they can vote right at the time?
Senator, Ms. Colgan, from our perspective, anybody that wanted to cast an absentee ballot that could not come in person, that had to do it by mail, they would still continue to have that process. However, if an individual came in to vote and wanted to request an absentee ballot, if they're in person, they would be doing the early voting and not doing an absentee ballot. Does that help answer your question?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Scogan. Next, Ms. Sharon Anderson. Welcome, Ms. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Sharon Anderson, I am here from Cass County, but primarily I'm representing the Minnesota Association of County Officers today. You usually hear from Deb Erickson. She was not able to come to the meeting today. The legislative agenda for the county officers this year does include supporting statewide early voting. I believe Joe Mansky will be on the agenda after I am, and he's going to talk a little bit about vote centers, which is also mentioned in our agenda. Very supportive of early voting across the state, however, recognizing that one size does not fit all at the county and state level in terms of resources, voter demand, and available technology. I think mainly we have just a couple of points from the MACO side that we'd like to focus on today. And it's really in the vein of a couple of technical issues in the bill that we would probably like to see a little more flexibility on a couple of options. The first item being the revisiting the minimum hours just slightly, and the amendment today softening those hours around the primary, I think, does go a long ways toward doing that. As I said, one size does not necessarily fit all across all of our 87 counties, and that's one of our concerns. For example, if I take my county, Cass County is fairly large. We're about 90 miles long and 60 miles wide. I have 5 locations that we conduct absentee balloting at. But on a busy day, you know, they might do a dozen ballots. So we're kind of looking at those minimum hours in the vein of that still might be a little bit of overkill for some of our very smallest precincts. So We'd like a little consideration on that in terms of maybe lowering that floor a bit and knowing that those that have a greater volume do react to that by expanding their locations or expanding their hours beyond the minimum. So that's one of our minor concerns right now. Another, and you were discussing that before my time at the mic here, as being a replacement for the in-person absentee voting for those 15 days. The one of the barriers that we've identified to that is the equipment side. A lot of our counties have the generation of equipment that we purchased in 2006 with the HAVA monies, and some of our counties really haven't gotten to that point where they're financially ready to replace that equipment. So I think, honestly, we'd like to see an option to stay with in-person absentee voting until such time as that equipment is replaced, where we can meet that standard of the 30 precincts on a memory card. So that would be something that we'd really like to see as an option in the bill. And there again, it's just more of a transition issue, I think, than anything for us. There are a couple more areas of minor practical nature in the bill, kind of along those same lines where we think that an option would be, the way to go without compromising voter needs, security, or integrity of the processes. I also happen to come from a county in the northern, about a third of our state uses mail balloting very heavily. And we are thinking that we also, in terms of equitable treatment of voters, want to address what we would do if a ballot is mailed out to someone. And we do have a certain number of voters that really like to drop those off in person. And perhaps if it's mailed out, we would want to have a way, if they chose not to return that by mail, that they too could come in during that period and insert that ballot into the machine. So just another small little technical area that we would like to look at. But in summary, with a little bit of flexibility, a couple of minor technical tweaks easing the transition, MACO is supportive of the bill. No excuse absentee voting, I think, worked well for us in 2014. This is certainly another step along the way to enhance that equitable treatment of voters, improve the process, streamline it, and improve voter confidence in our systems. It is time that we modernize the way Minnesotans vote and the options that they have. It's a win-win for voters and taxpayers. The cost savings is a bonus. Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And if you do have any questions, glad to take those. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. And any questions? Okay, seeing none, thanks for your testimony. Mr. Joe Mansky. Welcome, Mr. Mansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Joe Mansky from the Ramsey County Elections Office. And just for the record, just wanted to let you know that the Ramsey County Board does support early voting, and the County Board also supports vote centers. And so let me talk about just that little part of the proposal here for a minute. And by way of doing that, let me throw a couple of numbers at you. Comparing apples to apples, comparing the 2010 election with the 2014 election, our last two elections for governor, Our increase in voting prior to Election Day, and that's both the mail voting and the in-person voting, which we have already started to call early voting, so I guess we are part of your problem. Our pre-election voting increased by 75% between 2010 and 2014. Our in-person part, just in our office, the people coming to our office to vote between 2010 and 2014 increased by 123%. On November 3rd, 2008, that's the day before the 2008 presidential election, a total of 1,193 people voted at our office. And I have a picture of the line of people at our counter, which went all the way out the front door of the building and out onto our plaza. And if you were motivated enough to come to our office to vote that day, and you arrived at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you would have found yourself standing in line for about 40 minutes. Next year, we have our presidential election, as has been mentioned. We have no incumbent president running next year. Our expectation is very close to a record high turnout historically. We know what our past looks like, people wanting to come to vote at our office, at our suburban offices, in person. So what we would like to see as a part of this bill, which is a part of this bill now, that we could establish vote centers. And in St. Paul, for example, we might have a vote center in each of our 7 wards. In the suburban areas, we might be able to use vote centers to combine some of our city operations. For example, in White Bear Lake and White Bear Township, people are not always clear where they are supposed to go to be able to vote in person. A vote center would make things easier for the voters there. The vote centers are also useful in that for our Election Day operation. Everybody who votes prior to Election Day does not need a parking spot at one of our polling places on Election Day. It's one less person who does not need to stand in line on Election Day. And so to the extent that we can do what people have clearly demonstrated that they want to do anyway, namely to come in and vote somewhere in person before the election, having the vote centers is not only useful to them, it's useful to the voters who do choose to vote at their neighborhood polling places on Election Day. And Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to leave it at that and glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Mansky. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, I believe that, anyone else from the audience who would like to testify? Everybody on the list who was on the list did testify. Anybody in the audience? Okay, I see none. And Senator Sieben, any final comments?
Mr. Chair and members, I'd ask for the committee's support and consideration. I think that in the when we implemented no excuse absentee voting in a bipartisan manner through this legislature and signed into law, we anticipated, and some of the arguments that we made for doing so is that voters really wanted to do it, and in many cases were already doing so. And there were arguments that prior to seeing early voting implemented, we wanted to see how no excuse absentee voting went. In terms of the integrity of the process and the ability or the desire for Minnesotans to use that, we certainly saw that it was successful in all those regards. So I think that the real benefit of bringing early voting to Minnesotans now is, first, they already think that they have it, and we've certainly seen that demonstrated by candidates and parties that encourage voters to use early voting, which is really no excuse in-person absentee voting. But it's also a matter of increasing the integrity now of the of what voters think they're getting when they do show up to vote, if they want to vote prior to Election Day. So for those reasons and others that were expressed today, I'd ask for members' support.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Sieben. Senator Kiffmeyer, you had a question.
Yep. No, Mr. Chairman, I don't specifically have a question. I've done those, but I appreciate that. But I thought it was interesting. The voter turnout for last year was one of the lowest in Minnesota's history. And remember, we were told that this would increase voter turnout. And in fact, it did not. If you want to measure that, we did not have an increase in voter turnout. It was one of the lowest. And so what people did switch to maybe was, because of no excuse absentee, location or timing. But nonetheless, they still did. But my biggest concern with this is that you're losing some of the verifications that happen in regards to a no-excuse absentee. So I still have, and again, I've gone through these processes of reading these laws and going through these things and sitting through the hours of testimony, what people said. And this is one of the concerns I have about this. When we want to bring forward measures that you can find some of these methodologies okay, but they've got to have not only access but integrity. And for all those assurances, I know how these things are administered and processed, and nothing I've heard today gives me any comfort whatsoever. Matter of fact, it gives me great concern, because I see a lot of it's going to be cheaper, or it's going to be, which is a lot of that. But I appreciate that, and it certainly is a consideration wherever we can. But I all think it's got to be put together and with that integrity, and I just do not see that in regards to this language or other things. So maybe that can be added later. Maybe other things can happen. But as it's written right now, I have real concerns.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, I encourage and I welcome a continued dialogue on these matters. I think it's, it's important for members to look at the difference and I know Senator Kiffmeyer, being a former Secretary of State, you're very familiar with how the processes work. But if you just look at all of the different steps that it takes for a voter to have their ballot counted in a no-excuse absentee voting in-person system right now, versus a true early voting system, which is which is very similar to what voters do on election day right now. If our goal here is to ensure that every eligible voter can cast a ballot and that their ballot is counted, I think when you examine both systems or both methods of voting, it's clear that early voting increases the likelihood that a voter who is eligible to vote, that his or her vote is counted. And that should be a very strong consideration for this committee.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, Senator Sieben moves that Senate File 414 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. As amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails and the bill is passed. Thank you, Senator Sieben.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Is there any further business? Okay, the committee is adjourned.